we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here.
Recording, baby.
All righty, baby. I'm here with Aaron Ewer again, dude. He's got some dust off in the background for huffing. What is that in the background? Dust off? Cleaner? To your
this
right.
This is beer.
Other way.
This?
Oh, yeah, you're huffing.
This is
dust off, aren't you?
This is extreme.
Oh,
duty.
CLP. Okay.
CLP, yeah, for rust busting on, you know, firearms.
So before we started recording,
I also.
Oh, go ahead.
I also huffed that. It's fine. I don't huff that. I don't huff that. It'll probably kill you. Do not huff CLP.
Huff farts.
Yes.
So before we got started recording, we were talking about, I guess, dumb shit soldiers do. I don't know if it's from just the stress of everything, but for some reason they do some dumb things. Like you were telling me a guy got married before deployment to a girl he just met and never had sex with, and then ended up she stole all his money while he was on deployment. Like, man, that is fucking wild. How does that even
I don't know. Like, the thing is, though, his buddy introduced her to this chick, and his buddy's wife, like, him, his buddy and his buddy's wife were, like, a solid married couple. Mm. And they're like, oh, we would have never expected it. So, homeboy marries this chick, deploys, never saw her naked, right? So, my understanding of the story was, he would be like, hey, send me videos, you know, of you diddling your fucking twat or whatever, you know.
Yep.
So I have some, like, deployment fucking pump juice, you know what I mean? A little spank bait material. And so she sent him a pocket pussy instead. She's like, here you go. Have this pocket pussy. Thanks for all your money.
He didn't even get any pictures or nothing. She sent him, said, no, take care of yourself. Was it at least a mold of her? Was it a custom one?
It was
one?
A fleshlight, dude. It was a fleshlight.
Oh, it was just a generic one.
Yeah. So he, this is all retold stories material. This is what I was told. This is my understanding of the situation. So he gets, and he worked at an aid station. So he was kind of around other medics and kind of around like command group all the time. There was always people around.
Yep.
So he's running around with this fucking fleshlight in his hand, like, look what my wife sent me, bros. She sent me a fucking rubber pussy. Like, look how cool it is. So somebody we might mutually know,
yep,
may have retrieved said fleshlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that shit on everything, filled it with Frank's Red Hot Sauce. Also the sponsor of this night's episode.
Today's episode brought to you by Frank's Red Hot. And if you're ever wondering if you need some extra bang in that pocket pussy, Frank's Red Hot. Gotcha.
I put that shit on everything.
Oh my God. So did he end up fucking it?
I believe as the tale goes, he fucked it.
Nice. They just hear him screaming or something? Like, my pee hole.
Well, I think it was like, you know how like certain people get mad and you just like, it's non-threatening anger.
Yeah.
And you can just tell like they're stewing in the corner that they're angry. So he was just, I guess, sitting in the corner of the aid station all angry. And they're like, what's wrong? He goes, like, you don't know? Like, you don't know what's wrong with me? I just got out of the shower. What do you think's wrong with me? And, like, you know how, like, those cop aid stations go? Like, FOB aid station. There's female medics there to, like, hearts and minds shit.
Yep.
So this was, like, a female medic who was like, what are you talking about? Because, you know, the individual who, you know, topped off that pocket pussy was not a female. Like, it wasn't a female. So then, like, that dude walks in and he's like, why are you mad, bro? He's like, because you filled my pleasure toy with your hot sauce.
Alligators are horny because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush. That's why.
Yeah. They're medulla oblongatas.
Oh,
so
dude. So stupid.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of that deployment. And we heard, I heard about that miles away at Cop Pinnage. They're like, did you hear about the medic's pocket pussy got filled up with Frank's Red Hot? I'm like, who was it? And they told me, I'm like, ah, yeah, that tracks. That's like, of course.
Oh my God. That had to hurt, bro. That had to have burned.
Hey, you know, well, like thinking about the anatomy of a penis. Like there's a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it go right in your pee hole, right?
Right in it.
It's like mush. Right in there. And there's no way to get that burn to stop. Yeah. You know, you eat hot, you know, milk, ice cream.
You don't got milk there in the shower in Afghanistan. No milk there, baby.
Even if there was milk somewhere, even if you had to go out and milk a goddamn donkey, you're not getting it in your pee hole, no matter how hard you try. It's just not happening, bro. It's just not happening.
Oh, deployment, man. Yeah, it's funny because it's the stupid shit that you guys do. Like you're everyone's in such high stress situations, but then like when you do have those moments where you guys just do stupid shit, you know what I mean? It's almost everything kind of suspends itself in time at that moment because everyone loses. They're not thinking about, you know, what they're doing, about getting shot at, all that. Like for a moment, you know, there's a bit of normalcy, you can say, you know, like that. Like, oh,
that's what it is. Like any, and I don't know about for you, but for like, it was always escalating the amount of like, I mean, fucked up humor, right? Like it always had to, like, you go out on a Tuesday, there's a firefight, an IED, you know, shit's bad. So on Wednesday, you're filling somebody's pocket pussy with hot sauce. And then on Thursday, like, no one's talking about, like, the event that happened on Tuesday, you know, whatever. Everybody's talking about this fucking pocket pussy with hot sauce. And that, like, that way to, I don't know, separate or redirect, like, you know, your feelings of what's going on. But it always escalated. There was always and it wasn't like the combat. It was always the humor escalated.
Yep.
And then you think back on things that, like, somebody's going to listen to this and be like, that's fucking gross. Somebody grabbed a used pocket pussy and filled it with Frank's Red Hot. Ew. But at the time, we're like, yeah, put some nails in it too. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, I think there are people that, like, used someone's and fucking, like, five guys, like, use one person's and then left it for them. But I'm like, that's gross for all of you, I guess, except for the guy who owned it initially. Like, I don't want to be the second guy, third guy, fourth guy, or fifth guy, or the first guy.
Was it clean? But it in between uses, was it cleaned?
How clean can you actually clean? Does it, like, go inside? I don't know how those things work.
I don't know the anatomy of rubber vaginas.
Ooh, I know
real vaginas.
I did see a vajankle, bro. Let me show you this vajankle.
Did you see that thing? That thing was pretty crazy looking.
Did I send that to you?
No, but I've seen it. You know, it's real sexy. Oh, there it is, dude.
It's an ankle so with a vagina on it. The vagina.
And a full ass foot. Yeah. And a full foot.
So is describing that a foot fetish? Technically, who would get? Do you want a vagina on an ankle if you have a foot fetish?
I would assume.
Like, you're like, yeah, I'm fucking your
foot. I mean, I can't feel like there's a big market for that, but I feel like if we filled it with Frank's Red Hot, we could probably get sponsored.
That's I mean, then you'd have a whole different market. You'd be selling the shit out of those things.
You would be. So, I mean, you're on deployment, right? And there's a pocket pussy. Say it could be sanitized. Say it could be sanitized. 100% guaranteed it could be sanitized.
I feel like my
hand. Would you fuck it?
I would just use my hand. I feel I don't want to be using someone else's pocket pussy, bro. Well, I guess it doesn't. I guess I've had sex with girls who have had sex with other people before. So I guess that's not really any different, right?
Well, that's a good point. Also, though, have you had sex with who just had sex with another guy? Like, your sloppy seconds.
I'm sure I have at some point in my life.
And you know that wasn't sanitized.
And that's how
I've never had sex with a rubber vagina. I've attempted to make the deployment pocket pussy.
Ooh, what
but
is
I've
that?
Never. Oh, okay. This is good. You know, okay, like the little empty paper towel rolls, the little ones for the toilet paper.
Yeah.
All right. So what you do is you. You ready? You gonna make it?
I'm ready.
So you get some wet sponges. Then you leave them out in the Afghan heat for a while. You keep them moist so that way they're warm. And then you put them inside of the paper towel or the toilet paper roll. And you put a glove into the hole.
Yep.
And you fold over the lips of the glove and then you squirt a bunch of Surgy lube. Because every medic everywhere has Surgy lube.
Surgy lube, bro.
The nasal pharyngeal airways.
Yep.
And then you fuck it. And then you throw it in the burn shitter so that everybody can see you made a homemade pocket pussy. And
one time use, bro. Don't share that fucking one. I guess you could just replace the glove.
I guess if you took the glove out.
Yeah, then it's new.
No harm, no foul, right?
See, I think that's a good
thing. Interchangeable. Yeah.
I like that idea because it's disposable. Yeah. They need to make disposable ones.
They do. They do need them. But I was on the internet the other day. And, you know, I only stay on the clean side of the internet. So how this came up, I have no idea.
Right.
They have this fucking banana cleaning device that you stick on a wall. You stick a banana in it.
Yeah, banana cleaner.
I bought stock in that market. That's
actually, I saw this video. So it was this girl, she had this, it looked like a corn cob, but it was like a plastic corn cob, and it had a suction cup at the bottom, and it shows her suctioning it to the side of the tub, right? And you know what you're thinking immediately. They're like, okay, this video is
going
somewhere.
In her butt.
Yeah, you're like, what's about to happen? Then the camera cuts, and she picks up a dog and puts it into the tub and lathers the thing with butter so she could wash the dog, and it was distracted by licking the butter off the corn cob. Then some guy pops up. He was like, nobody thought that was going that way. We need to go to church. We need to go to church.
we need something. Here's the thing though. I've talked to veterans like post deployment and their humor seems to go back to civilized. Like there's an equilibrium and they tend to equal back out. There's two exceptions.
Medics.
Me and you. Yeah. My humor is still fucked up. Like
the same.
Still fucked up.
Mine too. I don't want to lose that fucked up. I like the fucked up humor. It's
There's nothing, no holds barred here, man. We just we've said and done some fucked up shit. There was a week where I saw your fucking taint every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would paint around. Every morning I would go. This was my PT standard morning. I'd wake up, throw my PT clothes on, jump in Roan's car, drive over to the HQ building. You remember how we got those blue lockers in the rows?
Yep.
And I would turn a corner and your PT shorts would be hiked up and you had your underwear cut out of them and you had your dick and balls pulled up and you're like, hey, Ewer, how's my seam look? Have you seen my seam?
I had to cut the lining out of all my PT shorts, dude. I hated it, bro. I hated it so much.
You hated it? My balls hang to my knees. Like, what do you mean you hated it?
Oh, my seam. Oh, I forgot about that. Nothing better than a good seam joke.
You know what? And the greatest part about it is there would be new medics to the left of you, new medics to the right of you. Some of them would be eating breakfast sandwiches, just be like, oh, we're getting ready to do our, like, Riva Ridge loop run. And there's Dougie, dick and balls in hand, straight shot to his butthole. And these dudes are just eating a sandwich like nothing's happening around them.
Be all you can be, baby. That should be the Army commercial right there.
That should be. That music that, like, hyped up, like, go get a music play. Yep. Dun, 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 dun. And then there's Duff's dick just fucking. Da, da, da,
da. I call this the swashbuckle. The swashbuckle. Da, 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 da. That's the new Army PT. That's the woke Army PT.
It is woke, dude. They have a stress card now. And it's not to get you to stop doing what you're doing. It's to present your grundle to them so that they're calm.
Yeah, I like that stress card idea. Present grundle now.
Yeah.
Grundle to
the They actually changed the salute to the goat. So you just tuck your dick behind and you wag your tail, and that's the new salute. So
that's actually what the Space Force does. That's how the Space Force salutes.
Dude, I 100%, no joke, had I been an 18-year-old right now, I would have 100% joined the Space Force.
Can you join the fucking Space Force right now? Is it still a thing? Or was it a thing?
It is still a thing, still a branch. I don't know. I would assume with our combined intelligence, we couldn't get in still. Yeah. But other people probably do. Because, like, the only thing that comes to mind for me is zero gravity junk play. So could you imagine when they're doing the zero gravity training and your dick and balls are just.
Your balls would float above your dick, dude. Your balls.
they would take up the aircraft. Fucking parachute down to Earth with them balls. Just Space Force. There's your commercial.
You're wearing a necktie.
Just be
up
hanging
here,
like. Fucking hang gliding, bro. Ball sack.
Oh, fucking A. We're an idiot. We're idiots.
Oh, we're
fucking tired, dude.
Yeah.
Wake up,
too.
Baby. Wake up.
Me? You're the one yawning, drinking fucking.
I'm yawning at myself.
Coors Banquet. Golden, Coors, right? Coors Gold.
The original stubby bottle since 1936. I think
I prefer the long bottles. See, and this one is
short and stubby, bro. 1936, the stubby bottle. Baranga, dog.
Look at that bottle.
Yeah, see, I think women prefer a short, stubby one over a long, skinny one. You got to hit those walls, bro.
Well, that is the age-old debate. Twizzler or tuna can? You can only choose one.
Tuna can, I think, is the most. Well, I don't know.
I mean, you got to go. Well, my vast research has led me to believe that no girl likes getting punched in the cervix by a tiny cock.
Yeah.
That's long. Now, if you can get the whole thing in there wide, you're good.
Mm-hmm. Bored out, dude. You got to do some drilling.
Yeah, dude.
Excavation.
Yeah, dude, you're fracking.
My face. So people who can't see me, I shaved my fucking beard down, but now I shaved it to the point where it's at the itchy point. So I fucked up because now I got to wait a couple days for it to get not itchy. You ever do that? Because there's a point when you shave, when you're trying to grow your beard back, that it's like there's a point where it's like, fuck, I need to shave. And then if you just get past it, then it's all good. Well, I shaved myself into that point. So. No, I'm scratching.
Prior to this year and this like complete homeless butthole looking beard I have, every year around October, I had to completely clean shave for respirator fit testing for work due to the COVID-19 virus. I work in a hospital. So, like, once a year, I would go into work and no one would know who the fuck I was.
My kid, like,
who's the dude?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
My kid, when I got home. Like,
who the fuck's the new guy?
My kid, when I got home, he was like, who are you? You're not allowed to be here. I'm like, dude, you got jokes, bro. You know I am, motherfucker. Get to your room.
Get to your room, bro. Yeah. So that was, it's always fun. And then I got into the, like, shaving it into mustache because the respirator would fit right around, like, here. So then you'd shave this. And then, you know, right about the time where I got to the, like, the Hitler stash is about the time that people were not okay with it anymore.
They're like, but all right, it's not cool anymore. That's not funny anymore.
But if you leave this little, like, under your bottom lip thing, if you let that thing grow and call it the tickler, they're also not okay with that either.
Oh, just, really?
You know.
Why not?
Yeah, we're device. I don't know. I you know, this thing is pretty good for attention. You know, just a little tickle down yonder.
You know? I should keep that. I should do that.
Look at the length here.
Oh.
And then, yeah. Like, use it as a broom when you're mowing box to, like, brush the dingleberries out. Just back and forth.
Little clitty litter. In case you run into any clitty litter, it's a mop.
And bucket.
And bucket. Your mouth's the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Well, that part was pretty self-explanatory. So I heard today on the radio on my way to work that the president of Mexico sent out a picture of a woodland fairy. Like he legitimately found a woodland fairy.
What?
So I'm gonna Google this. Yeah.
Are you on the Onion, dude?
No. Woodland elf, Mexico.
Woodland.
Just Google. Will figure the rest. Oh, dude, look at this picture. President of Mexico posed. This is on NBC. Post photo of what he claims is a mythical Mayan spirit.
What the fuck?
It's real life, dude. Where are you at? There you go.
What the fuck is that shit?
If I had to guess, I would say it's a fucking idiot in a costume.
It kind of looks like a fucking costume. Some old grandma.
Yeah, it doesn't look real. But this is on NBC, so it's not on The Onion. It's also on Sky 19 News, People, and a bunch of other shit. Yeah.
I'd still go with the vajankle.
Were you in the woods today? Were you the woodland fairy?
I was banging a vajankle in that tree, and they got me. They got me my vinegar strokes.
You got it. Have you ever had the unfortunate event of visualizing your own vinegar strokes?
Yeah, if you have a mirror on the ceiling or if you're in a bathroom or something. But I think I like my vinegar. I feel like Gerard Butler in 300. That's how my vinegar strokes. Yeah. That's how I want.
So the night I learned what vinegar strokes were, I sought out to visualize my own soul. When you visualize your own vinegar strokes, you have a very limited amount of time to see into your own soul.
Yeah, yeah.
So there it was, pumping away. Mirror fixed, and I got it.
For those of you who don't know what vinegar strokes are, it's the face you make when you are about to come, and it looks like you just took a big whiff of vinegar. That's why, hence the name vinegar strokes. They're your last strokes. Good strokes.
I don't think you truly know yourself
until you see that,
until you have visualized your own vinegar strokes.
Yeah.
So I implore you to do your homework.
Mine's like,
and go
fucking throw my head back.
That's a good way to do it. Mine just looks like a hamster choking on a fucking Altoid. I don't even think they make Altoids anymore, but do they? That's what it looked like.
I haven't seen any Altoids in a while.
Yeah.
I feel old, dude. Yeah, these people, I was getting my oil changed, and these, I had Sublime playing in the radio, and they didn't know who it was. And I was pretty, I had to accept that I'm old now, bro. The music that we're listening to is old music. I saw a post. It said, find you an old person born from 1990 to 1999. They don't have enough energy to do anything else or something like that. And then someone replied, what do you call somebody born in like 1988? They go, you mean the ancestors? I was like, you motherfuckers. The fucking ancestors. We're the fucking old. When these kids think of us, the 80s, bro, they say we're born in the late 1900s, bro. They don't even say, like, to them, it's fucking way back when we had landlines. They don't know what landlines are, telephone books or fucking.
Yeah, dude. Dial up internet. And you were trying to, like, you're trying to find, like, boob pictures.
Yeah.
On, like, dial-up internet on, like, AOL server.
Yep.
And then it never failed because somebody got on the phone and you heard the...
Yeah. And it took 15 minutes to load one picture. So when you finally got that fucker up and someone picked up the phone, gone. All that work for nothing.
Well, it never failed. It was like you got the face loaded. And then you got, like, the clavicles loaded, like, the collarbones into, like right where the breast mounds start, and then it cuts off. Beep. And you know what? Back in those days, that was enough for me. I'm like, fuck it.
So, in upstate New York, I don't know, I'm sure this wasn't everywhere, but the cable network that I had, it was, because you only had channels, we had, like, 2 through 99. Those were the channels at one point. You had... or before it was a lot less, but we had 2 through 99, and 98 and 99 were the porn channels, but they would come up scrambled, so it just looked like static, the way people don't even know what television static looks like now, I guess, right? Like, no TV displays that anymore. But if if you went from 98 to 99 to 98 to 99 to 98 to 99 to 98, just kept going back and forth, it would descramble for a little bit as you're going back and forth. So you could see it, dude. And it was awesome. But you had to work for it.
So way back then, we're talking, I was, 11 or 12. The lady who adopted me, she was older, like way older. And I had convinced her that for my school project, we had to get the, like, HBO Cinemax package, because there was Neil deGrasse Tyson, the great physicist.
Yeah.
I think I don't know who he is. Great guy, scientist. I'm not smart enough to actually know what he does. But I had convinced her that we needed the HBO package. So for school, for my science class. So at the middle of the night, dude, no joke, the way the house was laid out too, like, her room was next to this open living room. And the only TV in the house was in that living room.
Wow, nice.
So I would wait till, like, midnight. And I'm like, okay, it's jerk-off time. I got this. And I would, like, fucking... I would Scooby-Doo
laying in your bed, looking at the clock. 11:59. Midnight. Yeah, well, time to jerk off, baby.
I put my CD player on. And I think, honestly, back then, the only CD I had was that terrible Smash Mouth CD. So, like, it would just play on repeat until I knew everybody was sleeping. Mm. And then I'd Scooby-Doo tiptoe my ass into the living room. And I would hit the power button. And as soon as I hit the power button, I'd mute the motherfucker. And then I'd go right to Skinamax. And then I would jerk off in the living room like a fucking heathen.
Did she ever catch you?
No.
Nice. got away with it.
She was older. She was older.
She was out then.
I mean, even if she knew what was going on, like, say you're laying there, and you're the mom, not the dad. Say you're laying there, and you realize your adoptive child is jerking his dick very furiously in the room next to you. What do you wake up and say to that?
Hey, we gotta go return you to the fucking store, bro. You're fucking jizzing all over my shit.
We gotta
turn. What's the return policy on this motherfucker? Oh, that's what you get when you find a fucking orphan in a dumpster, bro. You get fucking. You can't train an outside orphan to be an inside orphan, dude.
What's an outside orphan? You're always an outside orphan. That's just how it is, man. And like, thinking back on it now, like, kids have nothing to worry about. These fucking smartphones, like, fucking 9-year-olds have them.
Go right in your bathroom.
And there's a little, there's a little fucking incognito tab button, and you just go in there and you're like fucking Pornhub. That, and parents don't pay attention anymore. Like, kids get into their parents, like Amazon stuff, and they can buy pocket pussies and fucking vajankles and everything else, and the parents don't even pay attention to what they're opening.
They're like, Alexa, buy me a vajankle. And then they're like,
vajankle.
Do you want the small? Medium or large vajanko? And they're like, extra small vajanko, please.
Comes back with, which color would you prefer, master? Would you like the dark, the light, or the really light?
Or the rainbow. The rainbow vajanko.
Ooh, the rainbow vajanko.
That's the girl vajanko. But I think it's not fair that they don't have the male vajanko. Because you need to have, right, like, yeah, you need a hairy male looking gross ass foot, bro, with the toenails all fucked up.
Call it the dinkle. The dick ankle. Oh, the dinkle. The dinkle, yeah. And then, all right, now.
A dick ankle.
Visualize this. The dinkle.
Do girls have foot fetishes too? Would they want that?
I would assume. Could you imagine coming home from work? It's quiet in the house. Like, oh, where's my wife? You go upstairs, you open the bedroom door, and there's a vibrating foot hanging out of her pussy.
We're supposed to use our feet? What's the thing in the middle for? We've been doing it wrong.
Wait,
this
why
whole
does it
time?
Have five toes?
Oh my God. She's using it the wrong way. With the foot first. Jesus Christ.
There's a dick vibrating. It's just like, it's fucking hitting both legs just fine.
Ducket Dialogue, baby. Brought to you by Coors Banquet. Coors. Stubby bottle since 1936. And Frank's Red Hot. It's all right.
Ooh. We put that shit on everything.
And our vajankles. Oh, Frank's Red Hot. I prefer sriracha in my vajankle. Or as as my grandfather calls it, Chinaman ketchup.
I heard
there was a comedian that did that a bit. He said, I don't know, but he said his grandpa calls it Chinaman ketchup, and I fucking lost it, dude.
That's pretty legit, though.
That's a good.
It's a very good analogy there. Man. Oh, what's new in your life, brother? How's work going?
Work's good. Shit's good. Yawning. Shit's good, bro. We just went swimming in the pond. My kid loved it. We fucking chucked his ass in there, put all those little floaties on, and he was scared at first, but he loved it, dude. It's like, now he wants to go in it every fucking day. But then pretty sure I saw a cottonmouth in there swimming around or some sort of aquatic snake, so probably should get rid of that fucker first before jumping back in there.
Yeah, you might want to. My in-laws have a pool, and I think my son Wyatt, as you can tell, because you know me and these people don't, I'm not very tall. I'm 5'8 on a good day. You know,
that's how tall I am.
My father-in-law is like 6'5, and Wyatt got his fucking jeans. My 5-year-old's like
taller than
3'2. Yeah, he's like 3'2" now. He's 5.
Oh shit.
So okay. We're thinking this year. Yeah, they were thinking he's honestly he stands like this tall. Like when I'm sitting down, like he would probably be up to about my chin sitting down. Hmm. He's fucking brute. But we're thinking this year he'd probably be tall enough to stand in the pool without floaties.
Ah,
and the kid has no fear. Yeah, it's got no fear.
That's the problem, man. When they don't have fear, that's just it. It's very, it's more stressful because you're like, ah, damn it, dude, you are doing some shit that you're gonna die right now because you don't have any fear. You stupid bastard.
You dumb son of a bitch.
But I get it. I mean, that's how we were. That's how I was. I mean, it's still, I think until last year, that's how I was. But I mean, especially in the Army.
I think it changes, though, when you have, like, obviously when you have kids. Because you're like, you know, you see your kid doing something and you're like, I know it's going to happen to you because it happened to me. Why do you think I got this dent in my forehead? It's from doing exactly what you're doing right now. And they're like,
you got like, that dent from your father when you were in the womb.
I mean, you're not wrong, but you know.
He had the Twizzler. That's what Twizzlers get you.
Dented foreheads on prom night.
Oh, that's fucking funny.
It is. But yeah, man, I watch my kid do this shit. And like, my kid's got no fear. The other day we're driving home. I picked him up from his grandparents. Because they pick him up from school. And I grab him from there. And he goes, Dad, I have something to tell you. I'm like, what's up, buddy? You know, where's this going? He's like, I think I'm weird. I said, why?
Like, yeah.
He's like, because I'm goofy all the time. He goes, and then when the teacher's trying to explain something, if she says something that I think's funny, I just laugh, and then it causes other kids to laugh, and then I get yelled at. I'm like, yep, that's going to happen every day for the rest of your life.
Well, you are my son.
Yeah. The one gene you inherited from me is the stupid gene. Congratulations.
Damn it.
You got a long way to go, buddy.
Yeah. We do a lot of stupid shit. Like, especially in the Army. It's like, well, like what I was saying, you don't understand the danger of it, really. You're a kid still. You think you're fucking invincible, and then shit's like popping off, and you're like, oh, we're in a firefight. And then you're like, hey, I think I sat in gum, and you fucking pull your nutsack out, and they're like, we're in a fucking firefight, dude. And you're like, yeah, but I sat in gum.
It's true. Or you decide you have a pretty tacked out M4 carbine in your hand.
Yeah.
And instead of using that to return fire to the enemy, you pull out your 9mm and you start like throwing rounds sideways.
Does every medic do that? Does every fucking
And then they give their like after action, their ACE report, their expenditure report, and they're like, you know, we did 200 to 300 rounds of, you know, fucking 50 cal and 700 rounds of 5.56 and 6 9mm bullets.
And we don't shoot it right either. We fucking do like gangster shots.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you're just like throwing bullets at your target. And then you hear on the other side, like the command group's like, who the fuck shot 9mm bullets? And they're like,
the medic.
Doc Ewer did it. It was all Doc Ewer.
See, I did all time though, because our weapons squad leader, a few of the guys, like the higher ranking guys, like the squad leaders and the squad leaders, some of the team leaders, they took out the right sear in their trigger fucking mechanism. So it's just the thing that catches it to make it go 3-round burst. But if you remove it, it goes fully auto. But without that space there, it would jam a lot. So he would like fucking, Doc, my shit's fucked up. Then he'd fucking throw me his, and I'd throw him mine, and then he'd use mine, and I'd fucking just fucking sling that thing and just have my 9mm. So I'd just be 9mm around, bro. Dun, 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 dun. Like 007, bro. You're like, slaps only.
But like literally the 9mm we had were the M9 Beretta. Like you're talking about like GoldenEye era gun.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it felt way cooler carrying that, dude.
you felt kind of gangster. You're like, yeah, bro. You fucking shoot your AK at me, you fucking fucker. I got this 9.
How did you have yours set up? Because I carried mine like right. It was on like a thing mounted on my chest.
Yeah. I had that too. But I made the mistake of lining like my smoke grenades directly below it.
Oh.
So one day in our wraps, we hit a bump. No, we hit a bump and the barrel came down and hit the pin on our like smoke grenade. And it didn't go off, but it shot because there's a hole in the bottom of the smoke grenade. All like this red chalk fell out all over my magazines. And like I had this like period stain, like bullseye on my like abdomen for like a week.
Nice.
And everybody's like, "Doc, what the fuck are you doing? You're your fucking target out there." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've washed it like 8 times. I don't know. Just shoot me at this point. I don't know what the fuck. I can't do anything about the chalk." Yeah.
I didn't carry any smoke at all. No.
I carried, I used to be 3 smoke, and then I made friends with the armor. So then I carried 2 smoke and a grenade, which once the command group heard I had a grenade because of like rules of engagement and stuff, I guess we're not allowed to carry grenades.
Oh, really? They were going to let me, I think. There was an option at one point. I'm like, I don't want to fucking carry no grenades, bro. I'm fucking good. Yeah. Good on the grenade.
What I wound up doing, which I thought at the time made me cool, but which was really dumb, was I just put it in my aid bag. I put a grenade in my aid bag.
Hold this. Patch.
Yeah. And then,
I need to test your level of consciousness. Pull the pin. Yeah. If you let go of this and we blow up, your level of consciousness has decreased.
Take this, man. I can see your wedgie. But I also like I went on a dismounted patrol with the SAW squad automatic weapon because I wanted to, and like, you know, you learn the Geneva Convention and everything else. They tell you as long as you're using 5.56, you're fine, unless you're like protecting a casualty, right? So I went on the patrol with like the SAW, and they're like, yeah, you can't fucking carry that. And then I felt bad because I had to switch it out for a fucking guy who had an M4, and he's like, "Doc, I gotta carry this whole fucking saw now and all these rounds. Your dumbass left the fucking cop with it." I'm like,
"How many rounds were you carrying for?" Like,
I was carrying I had a nutsack, and I had 2 other nutsacks, and like ours, one guy had the attachment to put a magazine in it, so I had like attachment to my like 300 rounds.
Oh, okay.
So I was humping. I was like, and then I look back at that now, and dude, I walk up a couple flights of steps, and I'm like,
I walk upstairs to do this podcast, and I'm fucking gotta take 5-minute breather, dude.
Yeah, you gotta stop, and you know, you gotta check your butthole and make sure your rectal tone's still good because you just went up a flight of steps.
Yeah. My rectal tone is no good. It's like, you know, got throwing a hot dog down a hallway at this point. She's bored out, dude.
It's a whole pack of hot dogs, bud.
We're at that age where I have to have my wife look at my hemorrhoids and go, "Hey, I think I got a hemorrhoid." And you go, she goes, "Okay." And then she looks at it. "Yep, you got one. Sweet." She's like, "It looks like a fucking finger pointing out of that fucking thing, bro. You got a finger. You got your finger stuck in your ass."
Did you ever like bend over and show your wife and say, "Hey, babe, pull my finger"? That's exactly where I'd go with that. Like, I would immediately go to the pull my finger joke.
It looks like a finger. Pull my finger.
Your kid's probably about this age, but I know with your guys' careers, I don't know if you take your kid to daycare or, you know, preschool or whatever. Okay. So my son, he's at the age now, he's 5. And so we had his birthday party like a few months ago. And then now it's getting into other people's birthday parties. So we're going to these parties.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, we go to these fucking parties. And like, I always try and get out of going because I don't want to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was one at a bowling alley, so my wife made me go, which I get it. I was going to help my son bowl or whatever. And then I ran into, like it was me and, like, two other dads helping, like, 30 kids bowl. And, like, the women, like, up the tier of steps into the carpet area where all, like, the balls and stuff are, just fucking chirping and gossiping and talking shit about everybody. And I'm like, I pull my wife aside later. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, just have fun.
She's like, no, this is what, she's like, this is what we do. I'm like, who? She's like, everybody. We just talk about everything. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Alex.
You're kind of fucked.
Can't you just like show them your pussy or whatever? Like, just be like, look at mine. I was like, show you yours.
I know. That's the difference. I don't think guys aren't really like that. They're like, hey, dude, you want to get fucked up? And they're like, yeah.
But like, it's just a series of grunts down there on the bowling floor. And, you know, like, it's like, ugh. And like, we all knew what we were talking about. Sticks. Like, no one's actually communicating. It was a series of grunts. And then, like when somebody had an idea, we just scratched our ass and held our finger up. Like, and like, everybody knew that meant, okay, it's his turn to talk.
You're like, I think Ted and I are good friends. And your wife's like, you guys didn't even say two words to each other. You're like, yeah, exactly. We're fucking good friends now.
Best friend I ever had.
we spent 2 hours next to each other and said, hey, we're fucking best friends now.
Yeah. Best friend I ever had. Said more than two words to each other. I was just flabbergasted, man. And like these, like anything they could talk about. Like we had a pretty bad teacher there. I don't know if we talked about it before or not. Well, she got canned because she was a bad teacher. It made make sense.
I think you were telling me about that.
Yeah, and like all they were just like, her fucking mom still works at the school. You know, we gotta get this bitch out of here too. And I'm like,
why?
Like, if her mom's been there for like 30, 40 years, like leave her the fuck alone.
Causing no fucking problems. Like, sorry that her daughter was a fucking idiot. What was the teacher doing again? I remember something with the biting.
Well
no, that was
no, me. That's Dave's kid. So, wait, my kid. Like all 4 year olds, when he started preschool, he just wasn't very good at wiping his asshole.
Mm.
So on our form when we filled it out, we're like, you know, they're like, does he need special attention? We're like, just when he poops. You know, he could wipe his butt, but you might want to do the like, hey bud, is it clean thing?
Yeah.
Well, the one day I guess she told him, like, I'm a teacher, I'm not a butt wiper. I didn't go to school for no reason.
Mm.
And like,
why are you teaching kindergarten?
Well, yeah, when my son came up to me and, like, he told me and my wife that, my wife's like, oh, that fucking bitch, I'm gonna kill her. And I'm like, you really think that's true, or do you think my son fabricated this?
Yeah.
And then now other parents had the same complaint, so she wound up getting canned.
Ah. I mean, yeah, when you're dealing with fucking 4 or 5 years old, because he's what, pre-K?
Yeah, pre-K, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly
what
it is. I
mean, obviously you're gonna deal with kids who can't fucking wipe themselves or not do a good job. My kid tries. Sometimes he tries. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he'll poop and you'll see the toilet paper roll like fucking all fucked up. And you're like, oh, he tried to wipe. With a whole mound of toilet paper.
He'll get excited.
In the toilet paper.
He'll get excited, hop off the toilet, and just take off running, pulling his pants up like he didn't just drop a bomb in the toilet. I'm like, bro, come back. You got to wipe your ass. He's like, no, I don't. It was dry. I'm like, no, it wasn't, dude.
My fucking kid, speaking of just jumping up and... He'll just sit there and, oh, I got to go pee or, oh, I got to go poop. And he'll stand up instead of going to the toilet. He'll stand up and pull his pants underwear down and then waddle his ass to the bathroom. I'm like, dude, wait till you get to the bathroom and then pull your pants down, dude. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Every single time, just running with his pants down.
Yeah.
Waddle.
We kind of live in the country and like, all my wife's parents and everything live in the country. So, like, summertime and, you know, we're outside. My kid's like, I got to pee. I'm like, just go pee in the fucking pee over there in the grass. Like, no one cares. Well, that's starting to bite us in the ass because now we'll be places because he's older. We'll be at the zoo looking at the penguin habitat. My kid's going to be like,
I'm going to pee right here in the grass, Dad.
Like, no, you're not. No, Wyatt, you're not. You got to go potty. He's like, why? I don't go potty at the house, and that's my house. Because we're in public, brother.
Like, dude, you can't do that. Right now, you won't get arrested, but you will.
No, but I will. I'll get arrested if you whip your dick out right here. Like, you won't get in trouble for another 30 years, but I'll get arrested. Put your dick in your pants and go to the body. Like,
kids are funny, dude. I love it though, man. It's so cool to watch each the different stages, you know, that they go through, and it's really it just happens so fast, man. I'm like, but then I'm also like I'm so fucking, I don't know if it's from like the military and just and I think being a medic and having that always thinking about the worst scenario and always, you know, especially when you go out on patrol, you're like, okay, well, we're going in a vehicle. I need to have prepare for possible XYZ. Or if you're going dismounted, you know, we could probably have these types of wounds. So you're like trying to go through all these different scenarios in your head, so you're prepared if something happens. But then it kind of follows through as a parent where you're doing that with your kids. And I get in these fucking points where I'm just so anxious about the world. You know what I mean? And, you know, like my kid going to school and I don't know if like that's normal or if every fucking parent feels that way, but it just, I don't know. It's almost overwhelming sometimes.
It was. And the most, like, a couple things stand out in my head. Like, so the first trip I made, you know, obviously we left the hospital with me, my wife, and my son. And I'm telling you, dude, I had to go 30 the entire way home on the interstate. My wife's like, what are you doing?
Hazards and I'm like, on.
Yeah, I'm driving. She's like, no one's going to hit us. And I'm like, I'm aware. Like, I'm fucking, and like, my face was flushed the whole time. And like, driving in Ohio traffic isn't bad. And we weren't even, like, we were on the highway, but we weren't in like Cleveland traffic. We were in like local, like I-76 traffic. And my wife's like, dude, you're freaking out for no reason. And that like parlays into like every, we went to the zoo and my kid ran off to go like play with some other kids. And I'm like, no, get over here.
Yeah.
You know, you're outside like two arms reach, man. I can't take a step and grab you. And my wife's like, dude. And I'm like, no, bro. Like, what are you doing? So it does resonate with me. Cause like, and there's no, like, there's no turning that off. Like, I think we both compartmentalize stress pretty well and turn off, like, you know, not feelings, but like kind of like put them things on the back burner until they reside.
Yeah.
Now when it comes to my kit, everything's worst case scenario at all times.
Same here. And I try to like, I'm like, I try to outthink it, you know what I mean? But then I go right back into it. It's like, I can't get, I don't know, especially without like the school shootings and just the like fucking, you're scared of child molesters, you're scared of fucking school shooters, you're scared of fucking like everything, dude.
Yeah, the child molesting thing like really came close to home, and not like not with us or whatever, but there was a kid at the school, him and his sister. He was a year older than my son, and the sister's a few years younger. Well, their mom's 18-year-old brother got indicted on like raping a 5-year-old charges. Jesus. And we're talking about like local fucking, like local area shit. And then like, I'm freaking out because I'm like, you know, where the fuck do these people live? My wife's like, you're not going to shoot anybody. I'm like, no, I'm not going to shoot anybody, but I want to know like where the fucking threat is. Like, I'm not. Oh, I lost you, bro. Your webcam.
I'm here.
But I was like, dude, it's fucking, I'm like, you know, it sketches me out. That's the exact thing I told my wife. I'm like, this shit is so close to home. It's scary. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do with that?
Yeah. And then, I mean, because at that point, you're like, a million things are going through your head. Was that kid ever fucking near my kid? Is it, you know, this fucking that and the other thing? And
yeah. Did he pick his, you know, his nephew or his niece up from the school? And, you know, like, what's going on? Why is this dude fucking, is he in prison? Is he out fucking on bail? Like, is he trying, you know, this shit just fucking, dude, I don't know. There's a couple, I mean, we talked about before, like, with Dave's job being like rehabilitating, reintegrate prisoners, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he does. He's a corrections officer. There, in my mind, in my opinion, there are certain crimes that you cannot rehabilitate and reintegrate people to.
Correct.
Rape of any kind, children, women of any kind, you know, senseless acts of violence like that. Was it Sandy Hook shooting where that dude went in there and killed all them kids? Like there's no prison system. And the point where you have to put somebody in prison for 20 consecutive life terms, you and I can say the same thing. You could say it politically and say, oh, well, 20 life terms. Or I could say, you got to go kill that guy.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you're going to reintegrate this guy into society. He killed children, or he raped women and killed children, or he, like Jeffrey Dahmer. They just made that documentary on Netflix. There is, like, that dude got beat to death in prison with a pipe, and I think he got out easy. Like, there's no, he was drugging and mutilating children and men.
See, I didn't watch that. Are you talking about the series or the show?
I didn't watch it either. Yeah, like I didn't watch it either, okay. But I know because his father actually still lives in.
Gay guys. It was kids too?
Yes. It was, when I say kids, like 15, 16 year olds. Still kids. Children in mind. Kids,
yeah.
Right? Like they're still kids. They're a compromised population of people. They're children. And like this was all going on like in like Milwaukee and Akron, and his father still lives in Akron. And like
he's from Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Like local Ohio, like 20 minutes down the road, Ohio.
No shit.
Like, my biggest problem with all this is, and I get what Netflix is doing. They're making content that, you know, people want to watch. They're grossed out. They want to see it. You know, you're every time you do this, you bring this back into the spotlight, and it'll never go away. You give him power every time, whether he's alive or dead or not.
Yeah.
I have a friend, and she's a vet tech. And his dad still lives in Akron, and he has a dog, and, you know, he would take the dog into the dog hospital or the vet facility or whatever, and they would always say, hey, Mr. Dahmer, you know, and he would walk up, and he'd be like, no, dude, do not call me that. Call me Jim, or whatever his first name is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. So the guy's dad? Jeffrey Dahmer's dad? Oh, no shit. My ass
still alive down in Akron. Dude, get in there. What? Let me see.
Yeah, dude. I gotta fucking get these boxers. My ass is sweating. And it's got the chair that I'm sitting in just like fucking itches my butt. So how, like, man, imagine being fucking Jeffrey Dahmer's dad, bro, and trying to go through everyday fucking life, dude.
Yeah, how do you I would have immediately changed my name.
Oh, 100%.
I'm sorry. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like that big of an inconvenience to change your name.
I'd change it to Cock and Stinkle. Like, fucking anything, fucking other than
John fucking Smith, dude. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know, man. And like, a lot of people I work with watch the documentary and they're like, well, it's educational. I'm like, you don't need this in your life.
Yeah, that's not.
I'm
it's not really a documentary.
Need...
That's like a scripted show. Are you talking about they came out with a documentary or that scripted show?
It's a scripted show, but parts of it were
like actual
like
stuff that happened. Oh, okay.
Testimony.
Okay.
It's like a docu-series. More,
got you. Okay.
More accurate docu-series. But I'm like, you guys don't need that in your life. Doctored up by Hollywood or not, like, all that's going to do is for the next week and a half to 2 months when you're watching this series, like, you're going to play scenarios in your head. Very negative scenarios about very negative.
Yep.
And let's be real here. No one needs that in their life. No one needs that shit. You know, you got to find constructive things that make you happy. And somebody, you know, cutting people's heads off and freezing them and then eating their genitals is not one of those things that make anybody happy. So don't watch that shit.
Yeah, that's not. It's tough. And like I was watching a TED Talk, and it was this lady who was the mother of one of the kids from Columbine. And she's talking about, you know, like, you know, how it is being, you know, with all carrying all that weight, knowing that her son, you know, killed all these fucking people, and that, like, I don't know. And she just talks about how she replays like her whole fucking life and everything, that all every fucking moment with her kid, you know, and like, how the hell did this happen? You know, cause the way she described it, she's like, I thought I was a good mom. Like, I had, you know, she, it didn't seem like anything was terribly wrong with, like, she didn't have any really know what was, she's like, we didn't have guns in the house. Like, he got access to guns somehow and this and that. And like, we didn't even know that that he, like, he, she said the day that he left that it happened, he was just like, bye, mom.
Yeah. I love you. See you tonight.
Yeah. See ya. Yeah. Bye.
And I mean, I think innately, like, we, like a society, we blame everybody involved in that family, right? The shooter, his parents, everybody. I mean, it's almost human nature. Mm-hmm. I was watching, I don't know if it was the TED Talk or it was a documentary on that, and they interviewed Marilyn Manson, because at the time, Marilyn Manson is really big. And part of the reason that they believe that these kids went in there and like performed the Columbine shooting was because of his music and stuff. Well, they interviewed him and they're like, so, you know, what would you have said to these kids, you know, to get them to not have done what they've done? And he looked at the camera and he goes, I wouldn't have said anything. I would have listened to them, because there's clearly something wrong with these kids and it has nothing to do with my music. So, like, that's that being
a pretty fucking good response.
That's a pretty good point. But then
you're like, didn't you remove ribs so you could suck your own dick? How do you have good insight, bro?
That was maybe when you
got that dick mouth working, baby. Fucking that loop. Yeah.
Maybe when you complete that loop, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But then
that makes sense,
like,
dude. Like,
said, actually,
it keeps a flow going. Like the snake eating its own tail, bro. You're like, you absorb. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Perpetual motion, right?
I was going to say perpetual motion.
But you think about what you said about the mom, like being like, oh no, I raised a normal kid, you know. He woke up and he's like, hey, mom, love you, going to school. None of that would have been suspected. So I'm not taking away from Marilyn Manson's point, but like trying to like justify or understand the situation, not justify their actions, just rationalize the situation. Even if he listened, what would they have had to say?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, would there have been a difference?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, and that's an issue too, is, you know, when you think about families 100 years ago, you know, they learned in like a nuclear family where, you know, they would work on a farm, or they had to, you know, the kids had responsibilities that they were active, and they were an active role in making sure that household ran, right? They had to, you know, certain chores, certain responsibilities that they had to do. And then either they were going to school very little, like, you know, or most of it was being done by the parents, you know what I mean? The schooling. So you go from that to fast forward to where we are now. Most kids' parents, both of them work, you know, fucking 9 to 5 or whatever the fucking hours are. So then the kid is going to school and their parents don't see him all fucking day, all, you know, 5 days a week. And by the time they get home, everyone's fucking tired and you guys just veg out. People watch TV, do whatever. And then you repeat that cycle over and over again. You have your weekends where, you know, you have to do fucking housework, you have to do this and that. And then you maybe get one day where actually you're able to hang out as a family and enjoy. So you're spending like 1/7 of your time together, and your family, your kids getting raised by everyone else, you know, around them. So it's just, you know, families used to be tighter, bro. Families used to be way fucking tighter. They used to be.
They did. I don't know that, but I see that because even me now, like, I, with my son especially, and I have another son on the way, but he's not born yet, but my current son, I find time, you know. Yesterday I went on, a couple of days ago, I went on Amazon, whatever popular toys on HitchH, I bought one, and I'm like, okay, Wyatt, I'm going to come get you from, you know, your grandparents early. I took off an hour from work. I darted out, and I'm going to come get you, and we're going to play, you know, robots versus monsters in your bedroom. And I set time away from my kid. You know, I set time away. And drive time is especially important to us because I always talk to him. Hey, man, how's your day? How's school? School's fine, Dad. Why do you ask? I just want to know what's going on with you, man. Like, you know, you're five now. You can hold pretty decent conversations.
Yeah.
You know, did you have a good day? Did you have a bad day? You know, how are the kids treating you? How are you treating the kids? You know, did you learn anything today? And it's something so trivial, but I think that even that has been, I don't know, bred out or fleeted out of our society and our abilities that, like, and there's a lot of factors that go into this, like,
You're taking an interest in him too, like that simple act right there, I think, is everything, because then he knows that you care about what's going on with him and he can feel comfortable, you know. And it's how you, like, when we pulled into school, my kid was like, oh, that kid bit me the other day, and I was like, oh, he's like, well, I bit him twice. I'm like, well, dude, fucking lead off of that. But then I'm like, just be nice to the kid. I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, you guys are little, that shit's going to happen, you know. But I think, and two, like, when I try to, like, if he does something bad at school and he gets in trouble at school, I try not to, like, make it a big deal at home too, because he already got, like, you know, yelled at or punished for it at school. You know what I mean? So when he tells me about something that happened at school, I don't want to try to overreact and make him fucking, like, punish him again for it. So I try to just talk to him about it. And I think that I like to think that that helps. I don't know. I try to talk. I fucking yell at him a bunch, but I try to talk to him after. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I fucking yell at him.
I do both, actually. Like, I agree with your point, because that point of view is my wife's. But my so you get in trouble at school for behaviors that we taught you at home are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get back home, like, yeah, you got in trouble at school, you know, you got corrected or whatever, but at home there's going to be consequences.
Yep.
And I don't, like, I'm not going to say I never, you know, smacked my kid's hand or anything, but
I spank my kid. His rule, spank him, bro. Yeah.
General rule of thumb, because of, like, my childhood, I don't. But I have came up with, like, vigorous mental tortures for my child. Like, he got in trouble for, I don't know what it was, at school. So I told him, I said, listen, man, like, because of your actions at school, like, I know you got in trouble at school, but because of your actions at school, every day now, you owe me 10 minutes of corner time until I tell you that your debt's paid. And he looks at me and he's like, why? And I'm like, because, like, your actions are not acceptable. He goes, but I got in trouble at school. I'm like, and I understand that. I said, but you have to understand that when you're not at school, those behaviors are still not okay. Mm-hmm. And because I told you before you went to school not to do that, right, like, I have to reinforce this, right? Like, you know, I wind up, like, I'm telling him, like, hey, man, for the next week, you owe me 10 minutes of corner time. Well, it winds up being, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
And I like, we'll have conversations, you know, before and after corner time about these things. And I try to find innovative ways to, like, punish my kid without
beating the, like, shit out of
spanking my kid. Right. And that's a me thing, because, you know, the way I was raised and everything else. So I try not to. I'm not saying I'm definitely not above it. I just try to avoid it.
Yeah, see, I don't really have to spank him anymore. Like, I've spanked him, you know, maybe 10 times. I don't know. Fucking, but
last night, like,
but now I just get, but I try not to be angry when I do it. Like, I try to be like, you know, I'm not like, fucking you motherfucker. I'm like, hey, dude, like, that was not okay. Like, if you don't calm down, like, I'll give him time to calm down. You know, I'll be like, calm down. Then I'm like, all right, man. I'm like, you're getting a spanking. I'm like, that's over the line. You're getting a spanking. And I'll put him on the bed. I'll be like, nope, move your hands. And he'll be like, no, please. Like, I'm like, move your hands. I'm like, you got to get spanked. I'm like, you're not listening. I'm like, this is the only way to kind of get you to listen. And then, like, I'll move his hands. I'll calm down. I'll be like, please don't do it hard. And I'll be like, tap him like that. And he'll be like, thank you. You know, like, but then it'll reset him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he, just the, like,
it
the,
does
the anxiety of it or whatever. So, like, but then when I when I get to that point, I just kind of give him a little tap, and he's like, okay. He's like, I'll stop. I'll be good. And you know what I mean? But like, but I did it. I have had to spank him, you know, like pretty good, you know, to make him kind of.
It's like a cognitive recall thing. It's like, okay. Like if you're getting to this point, then I done fucked up, Dan. I do the corner thing too, though.
The corner thing is more, I think now I do the corner thing more than, you know, spanking him or anything like that. I'll just be like, you know, all right, go in the corner, man. Like count to fucking 20, take a breath. You know, once he kind of calms down, I'm like, all right, talk to me fucking normal. I'm like, you need to stop crying and whining and throwing a fit. Well, but
I'm deaf as shit, so I have zero tolerance for whining. Because that whole, like...
Oh, it's fucking...
Like,
scratches
I don't,
your brain, bro.
I tell him, I'm like, quiet, brother. It's been this way since you're a baby. I can't understand you fucking whine. Talk to me. So then he tries to shut down, and like, my big thing right now is, all right, man, you're in trouble. Nothing bad's going to happen to you, you know, but I need you to look me in the eye and talk to me so I can see you. So I can see you. And it boils down to, like, I don't know, maybe it's me, but when I was in school and stuff, whenever you were talking to like somebody, like a teacher or a principal, you're always supposed to make eye contact with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're supposed to talk to them. And I feel like that's another thing that's gotten lost in our society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they roll their eyes, they walk away. I'm like, no. When there's somebody who, you know, is in a position of authority above you, a teacher, a principal, and they're correcting your actions safely, they're not like locking you in the boiler room or whatever. Like they're correcting your, you know, you show them respect, you look them in the eye, you talk to them. And you're wrong. You know you're busted. Crying at each anywhere, look them in the eye. When they ask you a question, you answer it. And, you know, and I try and instill these things in a kid. I assume they're correct. I don't fucking know.
You don't know. There's no right answer, dude. Because every person's different. But I do the same thing, dude. I do the same thing with that. Like, hey, stand up. Look at me when you're talking. Stop crying. Take a breath. I can't understand what you're saying. I want to help you and help figure this out. You need to calm down, you know, and the same thing, like, I'm like, your mother is talking to you. I'm like, you know, and anytime you raise, like, I try to really instill that. I'm like, you know, anytime he gets an attitude with, you know, my wife, I'm like, you listen to me. I'm like, that is my wife. That is your mother. You do not talk to her like that. Okay. When she asks you to do something, you do it. I'm like, I don't care what you got going on. You need to stop crying. You need to listen to your mom. Okay, Dad.
Yes.
I'm sorry. And he goes, I'm sorry, Mom. You know, and then, cause sometimes I'll be like, I'm sorry, man. And I'm like, no. Like, you lose the attitude, breathe for a second, you apologize, right? You look at her when you apologize, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think that's...
I'm the same way. I'm very protective of my wife in that sense. And not, like, overprotective of my wife, and I'm not my kid, but my kid, and based on this conversation, I'm assuming you're running into the same problems. He will show me more respect and listen to what I say over my wife.
Yep.
And I'm like... And my wife's used the line, like, hey, would you do this if your dad was home? No. Then don't do it when I'm home because I'm going to tell your dad. And he's like, oh, shit.
Okay,
I'm not going to
That's the important thing about having, you know, a father. You know, and that, like, so many issues with kids, like having single mothers and having these broken homes. And not saying that, like, single mothers can't be good fucking parents, but the kids typically need that paternal figure that, you know, that especially a boy, they need that male figure showing them how to navigate fucking the world.
Right. There's something to be said about, like, and regardless to how people feel about it, there's strength in a nuclear family, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the nurturing, caregiving mother, and then there's the more strict disciplinarian father. Neither one loved their kid any less than the other, but they play to their strengths, right? Like, I'm not nurturing. I don't even think I could spell nurturing if I tried. But my wife has the, I don't know if it's because, you know, she is that way or she was raised that way, but she can nurture a fucking caterpillar into a butterfly. She can do it without even thinking about it. She has the ability to do that.
Yeah.
I don't. But I think that there's strength in that. And, you know, regardless to like people's belief systems, you need that equilibrium in your life and in your kids' life. Yeah. You know, you need strengths on both sides of things. I mean, I think you need that because, and I've talked to my buddies about this in depth, but people always say, well, I got to go home and raise my kids. Well, you're not raising kids, you're raising adults.
Mm.
And you need to keep that in mind when you parent your children.
Yeah.
They're going to be adults one day. What kind of adults do you want them to be?
Exactly. And that and you have to try as early as possible, man. And it's you know, because if you let them control you or have their, and it's even like, we're like, dude, get out of the pantry. You don't go, like, you ask us if you want a snack. You can't just go and fucking grab whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, we had to put a fucking lock on the goddamn pantry. I saw a fucking video of a mom said the best $70 I ever spent. And it was a fucking doorknob that is fingerprint, like a fingerprint unlock it. And she got it off like Amazon and put it on the fucking pantry. And she comes in, the kid's fucking with it, trying to open it. And she goes, I got it. And she put the thing. And he's like, how come it fucking opened for you? Like, he was so pissed. Like, no more pantry time for you, baby. But he'd go in there and just eat shit and eat shit and eat shit and eat shit. And then not eat dinner. And I don't know. That's the thing, too, is we try to, like, he'll eat. Most of the time, he'll eat what we're eating. You know what I mean? If we make him eat he'll eat it. And he actually likes a lot of stuff. He'll eat a lot of stuff that you're like, oh, wow.
Dude, my kid will eat shrimp and all kinds of shit. He'll eat, yeah, kids the same way. Go ahead.
So, that's good, man. It's, and that's what, you know, I learned a lot from how my family functioned and stuff like that. And, you know, my mom always wanted to do family dinners. We always put on a fucking fit. And, but I think too, my mom and dad, it was easy to like pit my parents against each other. You know what I mean? There wasn't like, if you're
a fucking mental terrorist, terrible, stuff.
Dude. Yeah, dude, mental terrorist. Because, well, and it would start because I'd ask my dad something, he'd say no. Then I go ask my mom something, she'd say yes. You know, there was no like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, what did your dad say? Oh, your dad said this. Okay, so it's this. You know what I mean? So it'd be like, oh, well, he said no, she said yes, and then all of a sudden we're doing that, and like he's like, what the fuck, you know? And then it's like, you kind of just lose. Not respect, I guess, but you're like, you can kind of, as a child, you're like, oh, well, this got me my way. That's all you're trying to do, right? Is how do I get my way?
You negated attention from yourself to your parents.
Yeah. So,
and I think that, I don't know. I think that it's really funny talking to you about this because obviously we were
idiots.
Two completely different aspects. But our parenting styles kind of overlap, right? Yeah. There's a lot of similarity there. We talked about it for last while now. And it's funny to me because I think that once again, that strengthens the opinions that we kind of share on this thing.
Yeah.
And like, got to raise your kids or don't have kids.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, too, right?
Like my wife and I are really good about if one parent says something, it's like, you know, he's tried that, right? He's tried to like, you know, oh, well, I'm going to ask this person, but we always have like a united front. You know what I mean? We're always, you know, putting that together. Like, no, they said no, it means no, you know? So I think that's important too, is having that, like raising up your partner, you know, in a way that like, instead of but like negating their discipline, I don't even know what verbiage I'm trying to use here, but
you honor their role in the family, right?
Yeah, yep.
And you guys share equal but opposite roles, but you honor each other's role.
Yep.
And there's no, you know, oh well, dad said it's okay, so go do it, but I disagree with it. You have to have that united front as a cohesive parenting unit, right? And I find that my marriage is very much happy that way. And before we even had kids, we talked about this before, mine and my wife's biggest divide is I'm an atheist and she's a Christian. Before we had kids, we sat down and we talked. We're like, hey, she's like, how do you want to raise our kids? Religious, non-religious? I said, listen, I'm an atheist. Doesn't matter to me. Statistically speaking, statistically speaking, kids with like strong Christian or faith-based foundations tend to do better in life. Yeah. I said, we'll go that route. So now my wife, and she hasn't been going as much. She's been busier at work and everything else. When she has a Sunday to go to church, she's like, why? We're going to church. And I'll be like, hey, Dad. I'm like, you're going to church with your mother, dude. Your mother told you you're doing that. Yeah. And my wife's like, thank you. I'm like, you're going to thank me. We agreed on this. United front. We're doing this together. We're honoring the commitment we made to each other, and we're honoring that in a way that's going to raise our kid in a healthy, stable manner.
Yeah. And plus, you're leaving it up to him to decide, right? So you have different viewpoints than your wife, but you're like, I don't know what the fuck is right. You know, I could be fucking wrong. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're like, okay, I'm going to present you with instead of fucking hiding them from shit, like, okay, I'll present you with everything, all these options or everything that people fucking believe. And then you can choose for yourself. Like, I think that's the perfect way to do it, man. Like, they don't have to think like you. They don't have to be like you.
No, we had that talk too. And with our differing ideologies, when our kids are old enough to actually have a like debate with us about it, like logically and actually like with facts and circumstances to like strengthen their argument, then they can do their own thing.
Yep.
But you can't come up to me and be like, well, it's inconvenient for me to learn this, so I don't want to do it. Yeah. Well, that doesn't work in our family. You know, where's your structure? Where's your function? What did you learn and how did you learn it? And then we can have a conversation about it. But you don't get to go off willy-nilly doing whatever makes you happy because it's convenient. That's not how life works. Sorry, brother. It'll never work.
it's funny that, you know, because, I mean, too, we both, like, the shit that I did as a kid and, you know, the shit that you did, like, you're like, how the fuck am I not dead, right? So then, like, the crazy fucking kids. As someone said, yeah, usually like the crazy kid, like they're like the most like helicoptery parent, fucking like, you know, like, I'm like, I don't want to be a helicopter parent. I would have like, never believed to, like, it either. Fucking, like, I'm like, I'm fucking scared to death for my kid though. Because I know like all the stupid shit I've done, like the dumbest fucking shit, dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, and like I was like, let's do dumber and dumber shit because there was no structure for me.
Yeah.
And like, I could see, and like, I do hold a little bit of regret for this because I would pull good kids into my own bullshit because like I didn't have responsibilities. And then like, they never
grew up
rebounded.
In a dumpster.
Yeah, dude. Didn't everybody? Yeah.
No.
And then I feel bad because like years later, I'm like, you know, this dude's still on heroin.
You're like, fuck, dude, I fuck him up. But, I mean,
my bad, bro.
But that's, I mean, you're a kid, dude. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. You're just you had a total, like you said, you had a totally different experience. I mean, you were adopted. You had issues with your, you know, biological parents, stuff like that. Like hot mess express.
Yeah, like, none of that really matters. I'm going to continue to carve a life that I do hold a little bit of regret, though, for, like, dragging other people into my mess because, mm-hmm. like, they didn't come out the other side. And that's why I also feel a little responsible for some of the medics we deployed with, whether they were, like, proximity close to us or not, because, like, they got drugged into the same mess we did, but we kind of came out the other side and they didn't.
Yeah.
And they're kind of still stuck. Oil. And I hold a lot of regret for that. I don't hold regrets for like we talked before about regrets and I should have did this instead of doing that. Well, at the time, a kid is doing the best he can to save lives. There's no regrets there. There's regrets that, like, you know, people are headstrong and, you know, we come out the other side, and in my experience, selfishly. I'm ahead. I'm good. I'm great. Yeah. And I never looked back. And other people could never look forward.
Yeah.
And I wasn't reaching the album. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's tough too, because, you know, you like all the guys that we had to train before they went on their deployment, and the whole time we're like, you know, like we knew we were getting out Well, except for when I almost got had to fucking go again. But yeah, 3 days, bro. Fuck, 3 days, bro. But yeah, I mean, we you know, we're trying to prepare them the best we could for what we knew they were going into, but then like we know we're fucking out of Dodge, dude, the second they're fucking gone, right? So then it's you know, you're trying to fuck, like we said before, you're trying to process what you just went through. You're trying to fucking train other kids to go fucking deal with the most crazy shit they're ever going to experience in life. And then that whole support system, you're out of the army. It's just gone. You're fucking, there's, you know, you're on your own and there's no right. squad leader. There's no team leader. There's no counseling statements. There's no like planning. There's no one checking your fucking car insurance, checking your whatever. You know what I mean? You're just, you're on your own and there's no support. You just got to kind of figure it out for yourself. And I think that's difficult for guys, you know?
Well, to that point though, and I think it's been a while, so I could be off. When we got back and Bellingham and East Los got out, I became Alpha Platoon, Alpha Company's senior line.
Yep.
I think you became Bravo Company's.
No.
And
I think Pole did. Pole did for Bravo.
Okay.
And then I went into treatment or something, or evac. I think I was like a team leader position or something in evac or something. I don't fucking remember.
I went to Trudell and I'm like, hey man, I'm not staying in for the next deployment. You can't leave these guys with me.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh no, they're your guys. And then the scout, they got, so when I was overseas, my platoon leader got promoted to captain and had to relinquish his position, and we got a new captain. And when we got back, he became the scout platoon's platoon leader. So then, as a ditch effort to keep me in, they attached me to the scout snipers as their senior line. And I told everybody, I said, you guys got to stop. I'm getting out.
Yeah, they kept wanting to keep you in. Like, they wanted to keep people in, bro.
And my point to them wasn't that I can't do the job. My point to them is I don't care enough about the job to help the people you're assigning to me.
Yeah.
It's not fair to them.
Yeah.
I'm for sure 100% getting out of the military, and you want me to train these guys to be responsible for these guys, and all I do is drink.
Yeah. Like, I'm fucking done, dude.
You know what I mean? And they're like, and I feel bad now because, like, thinking back on it, I mean, when we trained people, and we did, me and you did, we trained people pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we had one foot out the door.
Yeah.
And
we didn't, like, once again, articulated like why we were doing the shit that we were doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to kind of put, like, you're just giving them, like, doing the train, like dragging mannequins and doing like fucking shit like that, you know, doing your patient assessment, stuff like that, you know, because we would do the stuff that, you know, the guys before us would do, you know, we make them do exercises with fucking treating things. And, but at that point, it was like, you weren't able to, like, really discipline them that harshly, but not even, like, even just, like, oh, you're giving up. Because, you know, guys would just give up. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not hurt right now. You're just, you're tired, and you're trying to give up.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, at that point in time, the people that you're trying to train are just looking at it as like you're being fucking mean to them, but you're like, dude, I'm trying to fucking prepare you for what you're getting into, but you can't connect that because you just feel like you're being singled out or you're being targeted, right? And I mean,
100%.
But like we both of us were getting out, but they would always go, like, it was always you and me were in charge of fucking doing whatever, like organizing something, or like you know,
PT training. We would be like, literally, and this isn't good character building stuff, but we would drink all night and then we'd go fucking pass out in your mom's house and then drive to formation hungover to go ACAP or like ASAP or whatever we were doing to try and get out of the military. And then at noon they'd be like, here, go, here's the training regimen for the day. And I'm like,
we're like,
I am I am T-minus 20 days out of the military.
Yep.
Where's your team leaders? Where's your squad leaders? Where are the people that are staying in that are deploying with these guys?
Yep, yep.
And they're like, you're it. I'm like, no, I'm telling you, I'm not it. I'm telling you, I'm not it.
Like, you guys are fucking leaning on the most dumbest, the dumbest people in the platoon right now. Too hard. Yeah. Way too hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, and then, I mean, we talked with Tim before. Like, then I got, like, uprooted and sent to go do that goat live tissue lab shit. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
That was cool, though, like, dude. That was fucking cool. Dude,
that was honestly the coolest detail I've ever done in the military.
Yeah, that was really cool training. Yeah, right.
I learned so much doing that shit. Unfortunate effect of that is 29 days after I learned it, I ETS'd out of the military.
Yep.
So, like, what? You know, there were soldiers who needed that training.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they went through that.
Yeah, I am too. I feel like that was probably the most beneficial thing. I will say that I didn't get it. I don't know if you got it in 1-2, but before we deployed, we did not get that training.
And no.
I feel like everybody should get that live tissue lab stuff. Yep.
Oh, yeah. It was so beneficial. It's so, like, to be able to I don't know how much, I mean, but this was forever. So for people who don't know, goat labs, they have goats under anesthesia. They are totally out. They have breathing tubes. Like, you're breathing for them. They are
penis
out
there
under. You can touch them. You can put your penis in them. No.
Peter's there. Peter's there.
Peter's there. Peter's there. Peter's there. So, trigger warning for Peter. But they would put them under anesthesia. They'd be out. They have, like, IVs or whatever in them. So how it would work is they would, you know, like, cut its femoral artery and be like, fucking stop the bleeding, right? So you'd have to, like, literally, you would be working on a live animal while it's fucking spewing blood out of its femoral artery and having to, you know, grab a hold of it, fucking pinch it off, fucking treat it. You know what I mean? So you see and feel and understand how it is in reality, you know, and compared, like, where you don't get that, where if you're just training with mannequins. So I think that having that hands-on experience with a live creature is key, man.
Well, I think what's crazy, though, is by the time we did that, so we were already seasoned medics.
Yep.
The war had been going on. Right. I joined in 2007. The war had been going on since 2001, right?
Yep.
So you're talking
a lot of goats.
Six, seven years. No, this didn't start off until, you know, we were about out, right? Because we would have went through it beforehand.
I think they had it, though. But we just didn't. I think we missed it. I think they did it before. That before we got there, because I think I was like 8 months that we were there when we deployed.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I hope so. I hope that's true, because I feel like that training event, like, if they didn't, like, start that early on, would have been a waste of resources. But I'm glad that they did it, because dragging a stupid plastic 400-pound mannequin up and down a hill doesn't train you for combat.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit.
It'll make you strong enough to handle the hiking up fucking mountains and shit, but it's not going to prepare you for when there's a fucking artery spewing at you.
Yeah, that's true physically.
Yeah.
You need that training physically, but mentally you need more. And I agree with that. That's very true.
Yeah, you need to know how to actually perform your duties, but also have the physical strength to carry those out. Right. Knowledge is nothing without the ability. If you have all the knowledge and you don't have the ability and you have boner pills,
you need to perform those, like, that mental knowledge or that knowledge while physically exhausted.
Yep.
Which I think me and you kind of took away from that, but a lot of people didn't. It kind of built on itself. Now, at the time, me and you were like, this is fucking dumb.
Let's
drink. Yeah, but, like, now reflecting on it, without the physical ability to have, like, because, you know, when people are exhausted, like the first, like a lot of things, brain shuts down.
Yep.
Like, yeah, like cognitive thoughts start to like shorten themselves to where it's just like primal. You have to have the ability to like compartmentalize the, oh fuck, my body's shutting down. Oh, hey, that dude's bleeding. I'm it. Penis in hand, balls in other hand. Let's tourniquet this guy.
Yep. I don't have a tourniquet, so I'm wrapping my balls around your leg, baby. A ball tourney.
Right. And I think that being able to take away that kind of stuff, it solidifies like a mental stability for us. I don't think a lot of people were ever able to do that.
My fucking camera. Yeah, and I think that a lot of guys just saw it as and like, I mean, I saw it as that first too. Is like, why the fuck are we doing, like, what, like, what is the point in that? But I mean, because you're a kid. This is the first time you're being tested at something, right? This is the first time you've ever been physically, mentally, fucking tested at anything, really. Like, to like, especially something that's life or death, right? So then you don't really get it at first, and then look, like you said, looking back on it, like, okay, I understand why they do the things that they do, or they did the things that they did, but because you have to be under that stress. If you're, well, you have to be stressed out, and you have, the only way to do it is without being in a combat environment is to, you know, go through it that way. Like, you need to be physically drained, and you need to have stress around you. You need people fucking screaming it, not necessarily like screaming at, but just fucking, you need shit going on. You need a lot of fucking outside factors.
One point, and my only point of contention in it, is when they're screaming at you, there needs to be positive reinforcement instead of negative.
Yes. So I think that maybe like after explaining the whole deal, like, I'm not yelling at you. I don't really, whatever I was saying isn't anything. It was just a way to get you to get stressed out.
They have to motivate you. We have to stress you. You have to understand you're doing good. You're performing, but we need more. We need more. We need more. We need more.
Yep.
And
that's the important part, though.
And yeah, what I learned in like leadership roles and stuff is like people react positively to positive reinforcement. In the heat of the moment, you could stress them to the point where they're almost broken. But then you pull them aside and you're like, hey, brother, you did a great fucking job.
Yep, yep.
I don't care what these guys say around here. You fucking did it.
All
right?
Yep.
Yeah. And like that, like even 30-second conversation, that triggers that like feel good fucking emotion in your head. And you're like, okay, I got this. I can do this. I'm here. I don't think there's enough of that in our training.
Well, because then it gives meaning to the action, right? Because with just the action, there's no lesson being taught. You're just, they have to figure out the lesson or interpret it however they interpret it. But when you say, hey, like, I'm, you know, you did good. You did this and this well. You know, we did this purposely to stress you out. We needed you to be in that mental state. You did nothing. You're doing good. You know, you did great. Whatever. Like, did you learn something? Mm-hmm. And that's the most important part. But if you don't do that, then people don't know the reasons for your actions.
Well, they go home guessing themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Did I do well? Would that person have survived? You know, is my job secure? You know, parlaying into the civilian world.
Yep.
How am I performing amongst peers? What am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? These are things that are required. Feedback is always required.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a pussy and you can't take the feedback, that's on you. But feedback is necessary.
Yep.
It's always necessary.
If you're a vajankle and you can't take it, bro.
Pull out a second vajankle.
pull out the male vajankle. The dinkle.
The dinkle. Yep. All right, brother.
Yeah,
I have to piss. Fucking racehorse, brother.
Hey, I love you guys. This is fucking Duck It motherfucking dialogue. I got some fucking bitch titties going on. I got to work out. Nice, dude. Nice nips. But hey,
and we got dinkles, dink ankles.
We got Coors. But hey, guys, thank you fucking tuning in. If you're fucking listening, if not, go fuck yourself. I don't give a shit. Aaron Ewer, thank you. My fucking buddy, bro. You're the fucking man. We got, oh, actually, I changed the website real quick, just to let you know. I put you and Dave as hosts. So we're all hosts now. There's no co-hosts. Word. We're just all fucking hosts. Word. Fuck the co-host shit.
We're fucking hosting shit, man.
We got me, you, and Dave. We're going to fucking do it. And yeah. So go fuck yourselves, guys. Penis.
Eat pussy.